With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, back by popular demand, we've got UFC expert Magic Mike. He's in the studio with us. Welcome back to the Mowers Club, Mike.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Massive day tomorrow for UFC, UFC 295. Two title fights, bunch of other really exciting fights. Can we start with the headline? Not 100% sure how to pronounce his name because he's Georgian, is that right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Jiří Prochazka. He fights Alex Pereira. So Alex Pereira is the scary-looking Brazilian guy who fought Izzy Adesanya twice. They're fighting for the light heavyweight title.
Yeah, it's a big, big fight. Like, if you look at Alex Pereira, double champ in Glory back in the day, then he's obviously got the middleweight belt against Izzy, and now he's going for the second belt in the light heavyweight. So it's a pretty big fight.
For people that don't know, so Alex Pereira is like a Amazonian tribal, scary looking, you know, does his celebration with the bow.
Yeah.
And Jiří is...
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's like a samurai type operator. He's got the samurai top knot and he poses with the samurai sword. So two kind of colliding worlds.
Yeah, just the build up of the entries in that are going to be worth it. Just quickly, Adesanya, he gets Izzy and he had beaten him twice previously before the UFC. And then he gets done. How come he never stayed down with Izzy and they looked at doing a third one?
I guess because the title picture was out, and also Alex Pereira always struggled to make that weight. He's an enormous middleweight, so going up to light heavyweight was probably always on the cards. You know, these guys in the twilight of their career usually start to look at going up, and it probably was an easier path. I think it's been a pretty underwhelming weight class
for a while,
since
hasn't
John
it?
Jones left. Yeah.
So both of these guys are basically just knockout artists, right? So this is an exciting fight.
Yeah, I mean, Jiří choked out Glover.
Yeah.
So that was the last time we saw him before he got that.
More from exhaustion than anything, wasn't it? Because they had like over 100 head strikes each.
Glover had him, but then he pulled that guillotine out of nowhere. Weird. When he had him absolutely rocked. And it's important to remember that Glover is Alex Pereira's coach.
Yep.
So the way I see it, Glover checked him. He's not known as like the best striker in the UFC, Glover. And he was 44 at the time. He's the coach of Alex Pereira, who's a better striker, and fought Jan Błachowicz, who it was a pretty underwhelming fight. But I think the key to note from that was that he didn't get to wrestle Alex like he did against Izzy Jan when Izzy went up, because that's how he really struggled because of that weight. And he went pretty well against Jan and showed some pretty good takedown defense. So I see Alex Pereira checking Jiří quite a bit with that left hook, and if that lands, it's lights out.
Yeah, the punching power of Alex Pereira, and Jiří gets hit a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. So betting odds on that one, Alex Pereira, the favourite, $1.80. Jiří, $2. Where are we looking?
Yeah, so I'm taking Pereira KO. I mean, you get, I think, $1.80, you said, for the straight win, but I can't see, like, Pereira's not going to win by submission. So I think KO is a pretty safe bet for that if he is to win. So that's at 225. I don't think it goes five rounds. They're gonna be throwing down, and then it sets up that fight, I think, for UFC 300 with Izzy Adesanya, who's taken a break. You know, his path to the title belt is probably a little bit unclear right now. So aside from maybe a tune-up fight against Rob Whittaker, which would be another huge fight, which I could probably see him making the trilogy there.
Yep.
I see that at UFC 300 if Pereira, because that's a massive fight. It would be amazing.
And then we go from the light heavyweight title fight to the heavyweight title fight. Now, this was meant to be Stipe Miocic and John Jones. John Jones has injured himself. So we've got two fill-in fighters, essentially, in Sergey Pavlovich and Tom Aspinall. Pavlovich of Russian descent, Aspinall, the British fighter. Two very big boys. Sergey Pavlovich has the shortest time in the ring of any fighter in the UFC. So his fights average, I think, a minute 15. Yeah, a minute. And the second shortest average time in the ring is Tom Aspinall. His fights average under 2 minutes. So neither of these fighters have ever been out of the first round in UFC. Both knockout artists. Aspinall can grapple as well, but this is going to be fireworks.
Yeah, it's going to be fireworks. But the key here is it's a five-round fight. So I think you might see a slower pace at the start, these big boys. Aspinall being probably what everyone's saying is better rounded, but it's important to remember 2 weeks ago he was sitting on the couch. I mean, he was probably training, but he wasn't in camp, and Sergey was preparing as the stand-in for the Jones and Stipe fight.
Does that happen every title fight? There's a third guy just preparing in case?
Yeah, it's incredible that the UFC's got this. It's pretty new because we used to remember how often we used to lose title fights.
Yeah.
Pretty much they always go ahead now with the stand-in, and if you compare it to boxing where, you know, those fights just get turned
they
over.
They get canned, yeah.
No one's willing to fight
each
other.
It makes a lot of sense, though, too, because you'd imagine these camps so hectic, 6 weeks. There's a big chance that injuries are going to happen during that period, or something unforeseen could happen.
And they get, like, staff and, like...
Oh, so many things.
Ringworm.
Yeah, but they do it even now for the not-ranked fighters. So I've got, Jacob Malkoon, his first fight was a stand-in where he was just flown over to prepare and make weight. And then once you make weight, you get your contract after that.
Okay. So this one, does it get out of the first round? Well, who knows, but...
Do you think they feel themselves out because they've got so much respect for each other's violence their time a little bit with it?
Yeah, that's going to spill a few multis, I think. I think there's a very good chance that these two guys go in, and in particular Aspinall, who's not probably as fit as he would have liked to have been in this fight. I can see that... maybe they feel each other out a little bit.
What about
bit
a little
more.
Second round knockout then?
If you look forward to my bet, I've got you can take first or second round to Sergey. That's 270.
270, And this fight probably only ends in KO, right?
Aspinall's got two subs in the UFC. He's very well-rounded.
Can you sub a guy that big?
How do you get around that now?
Yeah, right. So for those out there, if you want to get an idea of what these two look like, Sergey Pavlovich, they're probably 6'3", 6'4". 265 pounds, around 125 kilos, but Sergey has to cut weight to get to 125 kilos, and then he'll balloon up over 130 kilos by fight night of pretty much muscle, isn't it?
It's all muscle, and look, he's knocked out the unknockable. He's knocked out Tai Tuivasa in a very quick fight. He's knocked out Derek Lewis, and Francis Ngannou couldn't lock out Derek Lewis in 25 minutes. So just remember that.
Yeah, a lot of power.
I think Scope called Sergey the future champ, didn't you? On air a couple of fights ago.
No. It must have been.
Claim it, mate.
Claim it now. Especially if he becomes champ.
One of you boys did.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites. Yeah. I've had a lot of success on him gambling wise. He's $2. He's the outsider. Go figure.
Makes no sense. Two weeks notice for Aspinall. $2 for Sergey, who's
absolutely value.com. Sergey Pavlovich. All right, and remember, what's gambling really costing you? the third fight we want to have a look at, another really exciting fight, Matt Frivola and Benoit Saint-Denis. I hope that was French enough. Again, two brawlers. Benoit, two brawlers, Mikey.
So two brawlers. I mean, I'd say that Benoit has the edge in the striking. Matt, the steamroller Frivola, has been knocked out twice in the first round. One's on a 3-fight win streak and one's on a 4-fight win streak. And this is great.
So they're both in form.
Doesn't do a whole lot for the rankings, this fight, but it's leading into the women's fight. So they've put something up there that's probably a little bit... I think this probably has the fight of the night candidate for me.
Well, I get the feeling, Scope, what Dana likes to do, he likes to build fighters up or give them storylines or make them stars. So every now and then there's someone that comes along that he'll give a certain fight to pump up their stardom. They want to go big in the French market at the moment, and they've got Cyril Gane. Benoit Saint-Denis is a French fighter. He's a brawler. He's pretty exciting. I feel like they're giving him a potential highlight knockout.
Yeah, especially like Frivola got knocked out. I think it was 7 seconds. So his chin is suspect, and it seems like I didn't know Benoit Saint-Denis heaps before this fight, but I've watched a few of his past fights. He seems to be able to draw people into brawls that don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
So Frivola's real path to victory here, I'd say, would be the grappling exchange. But gotcha. he always goes away from it. And he ends up in these brawls that he probably doesn't want to be in it.
Yep.
So I'd say that Favola has the edge on in the grappling. And if he utilizes it, has a probably clear path to victory. But this Benoit Saint-Denis, he's got some power in those hands.
Question from you, from the listeners, Mike. Ask Mike if he sees him rescheduling Jones-Stipe. Still dirty, we don't get to witness that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's upsetting. But look, I'll be honest with you. I think this is a better fight we've got in the heavyweight division, to be perfectly fair. Like, Stipe is very at the end of his...
Be 41? Yeah, 40, 41?
His end of career. And Jones, you know, like, everyone wants to see John Jones. Like, I was really only watching that fight for Jones, but... I can't even see really, like, it's a big injury that John Jones has.
Is it torn pec?
Torn pec off the bone or whatever.
In his late 30s.
I don't even know if we see him again.
It's probably a 12-month recovery almost, isn't it?
Yeah, you get into the end
of the career. Torn pec in rugby league, how long would that be? Minimum 6, right?
Yeah, it depends on age and all that factors in as well. Position as well. But it's not a great injury, especially like fighting and the way that the UFC and wrestling and all those things that come into it.
And that pec muscle in fighting is so important. So, like, they said 8 months minimum, but that's 8 months. And if you look at John Jones, he prepares for a long time for fights. So you're probably looking at 12 to 18 months before he even goes back in. Then by then, I can guarantee you now, I don't think anyone would be putting their hand up to go in. If
no way.
If Pavlovich gets that belt, I don't think Jones is returning against him.
Yeah. The UFC announced a couple of other big fights this week that are going to take place over the next 3-4 months. First one, our boy, Alex Volkanovski. He's going to defend his featherweight belt, so he's going down a weight division from what he just fought at, against Ilia Topuria, a Spanish fighter.
Yeah,
too soon?
Too soon, man. I don't know. Like, I'm not Volk. I'm sure that they're probably going to approach this a bit more methodically than they did the last fight. Like, I mean, we said it on the show. It was big risk taking that fight. But, man, that was a bad knockout. It was a really, really bad knockout. And to come back from that, like, you know, like in footy, concussions, that can take 6 months for someone to properly recover from a bad concussion. He was out.
Yeah.
It was a decent clip, wasn't it?
But, look, I'm hopeful. I think Volk is so well-rounded that Topuria will be tested in the exchanges. I can see Volk winning, provided that hasn't affected him to a point. But also, look at the ages. So 35, it's a really bad age for title fights.
Yeah. So there's a stat. Is it no fighter over 35 has been successful in a title fight?
It's like two out of like 30 or something. It's two wins.
So that's
30.
The age. That's the golden number.
Yeah,
35.
Okay. So even like if you look back at...
I'm still ripe for a title fight. How old are you, Scott?
I'm out.
You're 37? Yeah, you're done.
I'm not part of that statistic that's two, for sure.
Gibbo, you're too young.
I got
probably
7 years.
You're probably too young for a title fight, though. Like, in boxing and MMA, it seems to be more into your 30s, doesn't it?
Well, I feel like the lighter, I looked into that stat a bit further. The lighter you are, the harder it gets.
When you get older.
When you get older. So as you
wonder
get
why that is.
Like Glover was 44 when he won that belt.
Whoa.
Dad's Army. Randy Couture did it as well. So it seems like the heavyweight guys can get away with a little bit longer careers.
The thickies go older.
Which is bizarre because they take more damage.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's an interesting stat, and I usually use it when I'm betting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benoit Saint-Denis and Matt Frivolo, betting line.
So
I think Benoit's like $1.44 favorite. Frivola, a bit over two.
I like Saint Denis round one. Two, he's been knocked out twice in round one. That pays $4.50.
Okay.
So it's only a 3-round fight. I can see him just drawing this guy in and
getting done
down
early.
Yeah.
I like that. But I mean, the money lines, like $2 or something.
Just before we look at the other upcoming fights, I'll give you my UFC multi. Saint Denis, Sergey Pavlovich, and Alex Pereira. You put those three together, $5.17. Huge value.
It seems pretty solid with the chat with you boys. You might have.
I listen to a lot of UFC content as well, and so does Mikey. He's been watching past fights.
Yep.
And that's.
Yeah, my missus loves it.
You've got
it.
Me.
We haven't watched a series in years.
You're showing little Xavier as well, your son. Last time I was at Mikey's house watching the UFC, his 1-year-old, 2-year-old now. 2-year-old son was cheering on the UFC fight.
He knows what he's destined for.
Get him in the ring. He's got 33 years till he's too old. The other fights announced, Sean Strickland, he's going to defend his middleweight belt against South African Dricus du Plessis. This is the same weight class as Australians Rob Whittaker and New Zealander Izzy Adesanya. So they've obviously back of the line for a while.
Yeah, look, I did feel a bit for Dracus with that last match, but like I think it's good for Strickland if he's going to beat anyone. I mean, give him one pad fight before he comes and takes that belt, because I don't think anyone's going to get that belt.
Why is Dracus not that likable? I can't get around him. Have you seen?
I've only seen the
Do you
one,
like him?
The one exchange when Izzy
got into that was awkward. Yeah,
yeah, and I didn't think Izzy held himself well in that light during that period, so it sort of made him look a little bit better in my eyes.
Yeah, okay. He was trying to smack talk Rob Whittaker before that, and Rob Whittaker doesn't smack talk, so that made me a bit like, ugh.
How can you smack talk Rob Whittaker? But it's unforgivable that he knocked him out to me, so I'll knock you out, my mate. You're off. You never come back from that.
Well, I feel like I should get behind him because his nickname's Still Knock. So I don't know. Is there something, something in that? All right, the last one. Sean O'Malley has been announced against Marlon Vera. That looks like sort of March next year to defend his title. He's the poster boy now, right? He's the UFC's golden child.
Look, that's a fight really shouldn't have happened, in my opinion. I think he should have got the...
He just wins that, doesn't he?
He lost to...
But now...
That was the leg. He hurt his leg, allegedly. But, look, I think it's O'Malley's time. And with Vera, it's not going to be the same matchup. Vera's been going for a long time. He's taken a fair bit of damage. I can see O'Malley winning that one.
Yeah.
But I think they're just trying to pad him up a little bit so they can get that marketing out of him. But, look, I love both those fighters. I think at their best, probably Vera does him. But you also get that momentum when you get the belt. I think O'Malley's got that special spark that McGregor had.
Yeah.
So I can see him starching him pretty early.
Just on betting and UFC. So last time you were in here, Mikey, you gave us the stat that 85% of fighters whose surnames ended in OV had success at UFC level. Following that, 7 from 7 fighters ending in the surname OV won at the last UFC event in Dubai. So 7 from 7 if you had to follow Mikey's betting stats.
So the Mowers listeners cleaned up.
The Mowers listeners, if they listen to us.
Of course, responsibly.
If they listen to us.
I want to see some slips.
Yeah. we're about tips, not slips here on the Mowers. So we've given you the tips today. We've given you Mikey's bets. He went 7 from 7 last UFC card. So let's see if we can go 3 from 3 on this one. UFC, this is one of the few shows, I think, in Australia, Gibbo, certainly on radio, where we talk extended UFC previews, reviews. So we're going to keep having Mikey on for more cards in the future. Any final words on tomorrow's card, Mikey, before we let you go?
No, it's a great card. I think it's got a good spread. I think I'm most excited for that heavyweight fight, but also Pereira. I mean, It's a pretty good card. It's deserving of Madison Square Garden, so it's a pretty exciting card.
That's it. Madison Square Garden, New York, UFC 295 tomorrow. You're on the Mowers Club with Scope and Missile, joined by Magic Mike.